Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Thank you that your spirit is the spirit of faith. Thank you, Lord. Faith is going to rise up within us today for the glory, honor, and praise of your name. Amen. Okay, you can be seated for a little while, but you're going to be busy this morning. I'm not going to do all the work. You'll have to bring those chairs up here. Don't sit at the back there. Bring them up here. Right, now then. Last week we talked about how the blood of Jesus stands between us and the judgment we deserve, and that because of the power of that blood, when God forgives us, he makes us pure, holy, declares us innocent, even though we acknowledged our guilt. He actually makes us innocent, although we knew that we were responsible for what we had done, which was not right. So that's the amazing power of the blood. So we know that on the cross, Jesus has dealt with every negative, and we do not need to allow any negatives to persist in our lives. On that cross, he dealt with not only all sin, but all sickness, all need, anything that is negative that could possibly afflict us, he dealt with on the cross. Then, of course, he gave us the power of the Holy Spirit. And you've heard me say before that just as the cross deals with every negative, so the Holy Spirit gives us every positive. The Holy Spirit is God. There is nothing negative in God. In him is no darkness at all. Everything about God is positive. Everything about the Holy Spirit is positive. And so because he is God in you, God has put into you every positive that God has to give. So God has blessed you in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And if you like, the agent through whom you receive all those blessings is the Holy Spirit. So God wants you to live not just having received the Spirit, but a life filled with the Spirit. Not just saying, well, once I was baptized in the Spirit. No, God wants to see you living full of the Spirit. Now, most of you, no doubt, are able to drive a car. And even if you don't, you probably know that a car can go forwards or backwards, or it can be stationary if the gearbox is in neutral. So when you put the gear in reverse, you know you're going to go backwards. You trust you are anyway. Unless you've got an old banger, then you have to pray that the thing will move. But you put it in reverse and the car will go backwards. You put it in neutral and it goes nowhere. You put it in drive or in forward gear and it will begin to move forward. However, you know that there are a number of gears, and it seems that new cars get more and more gears. They get six gears now. My young day, it used to be three gears, then it was four gears, then five gears, and now it's six gears. But the point is that the higher the gear you're in, the faster you go. So, and with less strain. If you try to go fast when you're in a low gear, you race the engine, but you still don't go the kind of speed and the kind of distance that you would go if you were in top gear. Now, what has all this got to do with the life and power of the Spirit? Well, let's just read a few verses from Romans chapter 8, verse 15. When he came to live in you, he did not lead you back to your past life. So there's no reverse gear. Hello? I said there's no reverse gear. Yeah. Come on, let's hear some response. There's no reverse gear. Yeah. So you do not have a reverse gear in your faith gearbox. Amen? So there's no going back. There's no turning back. There's no looking back. Jesus said, he who looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Are you fit for the kingdom of God? Yes. then you never look back. You never go back. You don't even look back to your failure of yesterday. That's forgiven. It no longer exists. Praise God. So you do not have a reverse gear. If you don't exercise your faith, you stay in neutral and you go nowhere. Things happen all around you, but you're not going anywhere with God. So you've got to put your faith into gear. And of course, you want to get into top gear as quickly as possible. Okay, so let's read this again. So when he came to live in you, he did not lead you back to your past life, making you a slave of fear again. No, you received the Spirit that enables you to live as a son of God. So sons of God are moving forward. They're never going in reverse. They're never in neutral. Hello? They're never in neutral. They're always moving forward because the Holy Spirit is there to lead us. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Okay, so now you receive the Spirit that enables you to live as a son of God. You can call him Father, my Father. The Holy Spirit urges us to remember that we are God's children, to know this deep in your heart, in their heart. So you're a child of God. Amen. Now you know that in your head, right? But believing it in your heart enables you to get through the gears quickly. Right, I'm a child of God. I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm living in Christ. Christ is in me. There's nothing to hold me back. The only one that could possibly hold me back is myself. The enemy can't hold me back. Others can't hold me back. No one can hold me back. I am a son of God. I am filled with the Spirit of God. I'm following the leading of the Spirit of God, and I'm going to motor with the Lord. Are we there? This is simply called faith. Have you ever heard of it? You're actually sitting here in the college that belongs to Kingdom Faith. The Holy Spirit urges us to remember that we are God's children, to know this deep in our hearts. If we know that we are His children, then we know also that we are His heirs. We are heirs of God and inherit all the blessings along with Christ. So there's no blessings in reverse. There's no blessing in neutral. All the blessings are in the forward gears. As you move forward, what are you doing? You are living as an heir of God, a son and an heir who has already inherited all the blessings of Christ. So none of the blessings of Christ are in reverse. All this look at yourself, go back into your past, and all that kind of nonsense is counterproductive to faith. Hello? So you're going to move forward knowing that all the riches and resources of Christ are yours. So how do you get through the gears? Well, the more you lay hold of those riches, the higher the gear in which you live. God wants you in top gear. He wants you coasting along with Him along the motorway. He wants the narrow way to be a motorway where you can go with speed. It may only be narrow, but it's fast if you're going to be a person of faith. Hallelujah. So you inherit all the blessings along with Christ. We may have to face cost in being obedient to Him, but this is only so that we will also share eternally in His glory. Okay, so what have we inherited? Well, we've inherited eternal life. Eternal life is God's life. Eternal life is the life of His kingdom. So that kingdom is within us. That life is within us. But that life can only be released through faith. Faith releases that which God has put within you. You exercise faith in Jesus and in His saving work in order to receive that life. But in order for that life to be effective in your life day by day, you live by faith. You are a faith person. Say, I am a faith person. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Don't just say it, believe it. Faith people will not be deterred by any situation. They will meet every situation with faith. It doesn't matter how dark, how dismal, how difficult the situation seems, they will meet it with faith because they're faith people. If you're a faith person, your actions and reactions to every situation are ones of faith. God wants to stir up your faith. But he wants to keep it stirred, and that's what you have to do. You have to stir up the gift that is within you. And the gift that is within you is, of course, the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit enables all that life, all the power, all the authority of the kingdom that God has put within you to be expressed through your life. So if you have inherited all the blessings of Christ along with him, just see what that meant for him while he was here on earth. Because it must mean that you being filled with the same Spirit, the Spirit that actually raised him from the dead, the Spirit that is now the glorified, victorious Spirit of the risen Christ, that Spirit is in you. So however that Spirit could operate in Jesus, the Holy Spirit can operate in you. Amen? So Jesus met every situation with faith. You've seen that. We saw that last week in the John lectures, how every statement he made when Lazarus has died, every statement he made was a statement of faith. From the moment he first heard about Lazarus's sickness, every statement, every word that passed from the lips of Jesus was positive. No reverse gear in Jesus. No looking back in Jesus. Everything is moving forward. So we inherit the life, the love God has poured into our hearts, his love by the Holy Spirit. We are able to love others with the same love with which he's loved us, because he's put that love within us. So say, I can love with his love. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Don't only say it, believe it. So that from the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. God has given you the authority of his kingdom. What does it mean to say that we live by faith? It means that the Christ who is within us is expressing his life through us by the Holy Spirit. So the love of Christ gets expressed through our lives because we're a people of faith. Even if you're in a situation where it seems the person before you is someone that's difficult to love, that you don't have any sort of feelings for or in the natural, or that you would find very difficult to love if you were just to depend upon yourself, because you're a person of faith, you don't depend upon yourself. You cry out to God, Lord, give me the ability to love this person as you would love this person. It's called faith. Faith working through love. So there's nobody that is impossible for you to love. Nobody. Anybody that God puts in front of you, you have the power and capacity within you to love that person. That's why God says, don't judge them, don't criticize them, don't condemn them, love them. Even if they're your enemies, love them. Why? Because the dynamic of the kingdom that is within you is a dynamic of love. The dynamic of the Holy Spirit who lives in you is a dynamic of love. So you will love in every situation. Say, I will love in every situation. Say it again. Say it again. You see, there's got to be a determination about that. Right, I'm determined that I am going to express the love of Jesus that he has poured into me by the Holy Spirit in every situation in which I'm placed. Now, in this way, you see, the kingdom is expressed within you. which is another way of saying the king is expressed within you. Because the kingdom is wherever the king rules and reigns. So to say the kingdom is within you is to say the reign of Jesus is within me. So if I'm a person of faith, what's happening? Jesus is reigning through my life. He's reigning over me, he's reigning in me, he's reigning through me. What I do when I speak is I express something of the reign of God. What I do when I act is I express something of the reign of God. Jesus is actually reigning here on earth through me, through you. He can only exercise that reign through people. What he calls his church to be is a kingdom people that are expressing the sovereign rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a kingdom of light that therefore can penetrate and overcome the darkness of the world around. So as a person of faith, you have the kingdom of light within you. So wherever you go, you're going to take light, even where there's darkness. I'll be there. So all you have to do is not try to be like Jesus. Because the more you try, the more you will fail. But to allow the Christ who is in you to express his life through you. Now, Paul put this in a very, very simple way. He said, not I, but Christ. Not I. You say that. Not I, but Christ. Say it again. Keep saying it till you're saying it with conviction. I mean real conviction. Come on, you see, you're running out. I said with conviction. Not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. I'm not the devil, but if I was the devil, I don't think I'd be shaken by that. I don't think I'd be worried by that kind of confession. Not I, but Christ. Come on, let's say it again.
Not I, but Christ.
That's better. Come on, and again. Come on, come on. Come on.
Not I, but Christ.
That's better. You're a people of faith, you see. Not I, but Christ. There's no conviction in that. Amen? You say, oh, well, it's not my style. But it's got to become your style. That's the whole point of this morning. You can't decide to drive a car in a different way than that which is supposed to be driven. When you have a car, you've got to drive the car as the car is supposed to be driven. You can't say, oh, well, it's not my style to drive the car like that. I drive my car in second gear everywhere I go. I mean, not I, but Christ. That's only first gear. It's not even second gear. You're not going to get very far with not I, but Christ. Is this too deep for you? See, not I, but Christ. The secret is this, Christ in me, the hope of glory. See, this is the secret for you, Christ in you. Oh, this is not my style. Well, it's got to become your style. Because what you need is a faith style. Oh, well, I've got a quiet sort of faith. Oh, well, nobody's going to be worried about that then, are they? It's more or less keeping your faith to yourself. Hello? No, no, no. You've got a noisy faith. Oh, you're going to have after this morning. The Lord help you if I have to speak one more lecture to a silent mob. Hallelujah. So you have the authority of the glorified, ascended, risen, victorious Christ within you. That means you're not going to take negative things that happen lying down. You're going to rise up in faith and you're going to overcome them. Say, I am an overcomer. Come on, say it again. Say it again. Say, my faith overcomes. And you see, the great thing is it doesn't matter what you overcome. It will overcome. Faith will always overcome. Yes. Faith is never defeated. Jesus says, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you believe. Why? Because faith can never be defeated. God always has to answer the prayer of faith. Otherwise, he would not be God. The whole universe would go into chaos because it's not only created but sustained by his word. So praise God. You have that authority. This is why Jesus said, when you pray, speak to the mountain, command it to be moved. That's authority. Command. How do you exercise authority? By commanding. If you don't command, you're not exercising authority. And if you're not exercising authority, you're not in a place of faith as far as that particular situation is concerned. You only get into a place of faith when you are actually issuing commands, commanding what is to take place. You know, there's too many passive Christians who just accept anything that happens and say, oh, it must be the will of God. No, the will of God is for you to rise up in faith and overcome. So you don't get sorry for yourself when you get sick. You rise up in faith and you overcome it in the name of Jesus, because he has already overcome it on the cross. We are only overcoming what he's already overcome. Amen. That disease is defeated. Not needs to be defeated. It is defeated. And I'm proclaiming the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ over that disease or whatever it is. Amen. Amen. This is ruling and reigning. This is being a co-heir with Christ. Being a co-heir doesn't mean that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. Being a co-heir with Christ means that you have received already all the blessings that are in him. And God wants to see those blessings being exercised in your life. Now, every time you look at yourself and feel sorry for yourself, you're in reverse gear. You're not even in neutral. You're in reverse. Why? Because you have your faith rests in what you look at. This is why the scripture says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. If Jesus is the author and perfecter of your faith, you keep your eyes on him and never on yourself. As soon as you look at yourself, you stop moving forward, you go back into reverse. That's not a clever thing to do on the motorway. Could lead to a nasty accident. So it's better to keep moving forward. Amen. So praise God, you have that authority. You can exercise that authority through the issuing of commands. Now, when we decree something, you've got to be careful here, because you can only decree what God tells you to decree. You cannot determine what to decree. Jesus said that the Spirit speaks only what he hears. When we decree something in the name of Jesus, we are giving voice to what his will is in that particular situation. You remember that phrase, truly I say to you, or truly, truly. I told you in the Greek it's amen, amen. It shall be so, it shall be so. And Jesus is the Amen to all the promises of God. Whatever promises we lay hold of, he is the Amen. He's the one that says, it shall be so because it's a promise I have given you. And when you believe the promise, you will see the fulfillment of the promise. If there's a condition that goes with the promise, then of course you fulfill the condition. Like you will receive whatever you ask in prayer, the condition is if you believe. So it's a wonderful promise that we will receive whatever we ask in prayer, but the condition is if we believe. So we fulfill the condition because we're moving forward with God, and then we see the answer that he promises. And he says that about whatever you ask in prayer, not just some things, but whatever you ask. So we're a people of the Spirit. We're listening to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of faith. Now, what does that mean? It means the Holy Spirit always wants to inspire faith in you in whatever situation you're in. How does he do that? Well, Jesus says he guides you into all the truth. He says that he takes the things of his, he takes the words and declares them to you. The Logos, the unchangeable word of God, becomes the Rhema. It becomes the spoken word of God for you in that situation. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit within you. He always wants to make the Logos to become Rhema. So you can then speak and declare that with absolute conviction, that in that situation, this is what God is going to do. Praise God. So, the reason why you have the authority of Jesus is because you have the power of Jesus. Jesus promised the first disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So where's the power? The power is not in reverse. There's no power in reverse. There's no power in neutral. The power is in the gears that move you forward. The greatest power is in top gear. Top gear isn't a television program, it's what you are supposed to be living in. Amen? It's not a Lamborghini or a Ferrari, it's you in action. You moving ahead in the purposes of God. With your faith in him. Now, if you fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, then you realize that to live by faith is to live with faith in who he is. One of the things that I confess over my life daily is the Lord saying, I am the Lord Almighty, there is nothing, I'm the Lord God Almighty, there nothing is impossible for me. I speak that over my life in the mornings. I am the Lord God Almighty, nothing is impossible for me. And then, of course, there's the other statement that goes along with that. And nothing is impossible for those who believe in me. All things are possible for those who believe in me. So that's the next part of your confession. He is the Lord God Almighty. Nothing is impossible for him. But I am a person of faith. And according to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, nothing will be impossible for me. As I exercise that faith, nothing will be impossible. That, you know, God cannot put me in a situation where I know the outcome is impossible. It may sometimes seem impossible, but it only seems impossible if I look at it with the natural eye and not with the eye of faith. But when I look at it with the eyes of faith, when I look at it with the eyes of the Spirit, the impossible becomes possible. Hallelujah. So when we have faith like that, that releases the power of God, the authority. Exercising the authority releases the power. So Jesus says, speak to the mountain, and it will be moved. He doesn't say you have to move it. He says you speaking with the authority that comes from faith, because he said just before that, didn't he? Have faith in God, you see? Get your focus on God. Then speak to the mountain. Command it to be moved. And it will be moved. Why? Because that command will release power. So often we want God to release his power, but without us exercising that faith, without us exercising authority, without us commanding. And you see, Jesus' power was released through the exercise of his authority. Get up and walk. That's a word of authority. That's a command. What happened? The power was released. The man got up and walked. Be open. What's that? It's authority. It releases the power. Blind eyes were opened. Deaf ears were opened. Dumb mouths were opened. The command, the exercise of authority, releases the power. It's no use saying, oh God, I need more power in my life. Because his answer to that is, well, exercise your authority as a co-heir with Christ and you'll see as much power as you ever need. Are you there? Praise God. God's just been building up towards this, you see. So when you go to London, you're expecting to see great things. No point going otherwise. Just get wet and cold. Okay, so we fix our eyes on Jesus. We refrain from getting focused on ourselves. The devil, what he endeavors to do in the life of every Christian, every believer, is for that believer to get eyes on himself or herself. Because as soon as you get your eyes on yourself, faith drains away. Why? Because if your focus is on you, your faith is in you. And if you don't mind me saying so, that's not a very clever thing to have faith in yourself. But to have faith in your position in Christ with the authority that he gives you as a co-heir of Christ, that is to see yourself in him and him in you, that's altogether different from simply looking at yourself, your feelings, your problems, your situation, your needs, your desires. Now, the enemy doesn't find it very difficult to get Christians to focus on themselves because for most Christians, the self is still their favorite subject. If you ever want to break the ice in conversation, just ask somebody a question about themselves. Hello? Jesus needs to become our favorite subject. But if he's our favorite subject, we're going to speak about him and think about him and focus everything around him and not about us, around ourselves. Because as soon as we get focused on ourselves, we go into reverse. There's a crunching of gears. Because we were moving forward and now we've got to go into reverse. That was anointed. So you are going to move forward now and keep moving forward. Now, supposing you mess up big time in some way. I think all Christians do sometimes in their lives, not just little ways, but you do something you really regret. You think, oh, what a silly idiot I was. And you really regret it. You wish you hadn't made that decision or done that thing or whatever it was. Now, in situations like that, it's so easy, isn't it, to be so wrapped up in yourself that you no longer function by faith. Well, we saw the answer last week. If we bring ourselves to the cross, acknowledge our guilt, Lord, I was guilty, I'm to blame, I can't blame anybody else. You have made me the one who is responsible for my life. I'm responsible for my heart. I'm responsible for every word I say. I'm responsible for every decision I make. I'm responsible for every action I take. There's no excuses, Lord. I was guilty. Please forgive me. He does. Now, supposing this was something really serious, and you feel that you're in the bottom of a pit. Some of you have been there. Some of you know. You really feel you're in the bottom of a pit. And when you're in the bottom of a pit, it seems all darkness. It seems that you've lost the focus on the light. But you see, above you is the light. As soon as you look up, instead of looking at the walls of the pit, you're no longer looking at the darkness, but you're looking to the source of light. Are you getting this? Now, the amazing thing about God is this. See, what he was teaching us last week is he takes hold of you when you confess, like I've just said, in the pit, and he lifts you up out of the pit. Now, when you're lifted out of the pit, you're just in the neutral place. But you see, God doesn't leave you in the neutral place because you'll go nowhere. You could even go back down in the pit if you get your eyes back on yourself, which would be a silly thing to do, but it has been known to happen in the life of every Christian. Hello? Now, what God is able to do, because not only of his great mercy that lifts you out of the pit, but because of his grace, is he takes you out of the deepest pit and he puts you on the highest peak all in one go. All in one go. He doesn't leave you in neutral. He takes you from the deepest place to the highest place all in one go. The highest place you've ever been. Now, there will be higher places that God will take you to subsequently, but he will lift you sometimes to a higher place than you've ever been. Why? Because in the pit, you realize that you're nothing without him. You realize you got into that pit because you didn't trust him. You didn't believe his word. You didn't exercise your faith. You looked at yourself. You looked at the situation. You got in despair. You got in darkness. You just got fed up with yourself instead of getting your focus on him. So when you are in the pit and you look up to the light and you see the light, And you then begin to pray, oh God, how did I ever get in this place? Get me out of here. And as you repent and say, well, it was my fault that I got in here in the first place, God lifts you up. But you see, now your focus is on him. Now your trust is in him. Now you've come to a new place of saying, I'm rubbish. Without him, I'm rubbish. But in him, I'm a co-heir with Christ. In him, I've got the highest place. In him, I'm seated in heavenly places. So actually what he does is he takes you from the deepest pit right up into the heavenly places. Say, come on, that's where you are now. Motor with me. Top gear. Yes. Any believers in the room?
Yes.
I said, any believers in the room?
Yes.
What a God. What a God. What a God. In fact, he's so good at doing that that some people even say afterwards, I think God must have wanted me in that pit just to bring me to the end of myself. Hello? Hello? I don't think God ever wants us in a pit, but he lets us get into it. If our focus is on ourselves, he lets us get into the pit. So that then we can get refocused in our lives. Focus back on Jesus. Motoring again with faith. So we talk here, don't we, about confession of faith. Now, let me just tell you the secret about confessing of faith. Confessing faith and having, you know, we've got all kinds of cards, haven't we? You can confess faith. We may use one of them a little later on, we'll see. But it's no use confessing faith, which is positive, over a whole lot of negatives. What I'm saying is, if in your heart there are the negatives, just speaking the positives won't change the negatives. You see, a confession of faith is something that comes from the heart. You're expressing what you really believe. And you live by whatever you truly believe. This is why Jesus said, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Just listen to yourself speak, and you can tell what kind of faith you've got in your heart. You see, you can say, so-and-so may not have long to live, but we're going to pray now for his healing. Pardon? How can you pray with faith for a person's healing if you think they may not have long to live? What does that person actually believe? What he says. This person may not have long to live, but let's pray and hope something happens anyway. Got to be careful what we say, because the scripture says your tongue is like the rudder that guides the direction of the ship. Whatever you say is going to direct the course of your life. Say, oh, no, God is directing the course of my life. He can only direct the course of your life in the way that he wants you to go when what you say agrees with what he says. But when what you say disagrees with what he says, you go off course. Now, because we're talking about driving, that means you drive onto the hard shoulder, or worse, instead of keeping going on the motorway. And, of course, if what you say is negative, it means the car stops and goes into reverse. Now, a walk of faith cannot really be like this. I mean, the only thing that is worthy of is Strictly Come Dancing. And that, let me tell you, that might get you to a final, but it'll never get you to heaven. If we're going to dance on the narrow way, it's going to be a dance of faith, because we're skipping along with Jesus. And he says, if you're persecuted along the way, leap for joy. Hallelujah. So if I see you in Swan Walk in Horsham, sort of skipping and dancing like this, I thought, oh boy, they're going by faith, hallelujah. Now, of course, what we're talking about is exceedingly serious. Joyful, powerful, victorious, but serious. Because God's best purpose for your life is dependent upon your walk of faith. I posed the second years with a question, and I forgot that we won't be having lectures tomorrow. I said, you can answer the question for me tomorrow, but of course, because you've got the London thing, there aren't any lectures tomorrow. So, but you see, the interesting thing is, if God has predestined our lives, are we bound to fulfill the purpose of God, or is it dependent upon the exercise of our free will as to whether the purpose of God is finally fulfilled in our lives or not? Discuss. Answer. You'd like me to give you the answer now, wouldn't you? But I'm not going to. We'll hold it over for next term. But you can see that the purpose of God can only be fulfilled through faith. That is simply how God has arranged the life of his kingdom. Which is why the scripture says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So when you're in reverse, you're not pleasing God. When you're in neutral, God was pleased that you got out the pit, but you're still not pleasing him until you're moving forward by faith in him. Now, do you think the Lord is content with first gear? Or second gear? Or third gear? Or fourth gear? I mean, if there's a fifth and a sixth gear, go right up. Keep moving up. Because you go more quickly, more smoothly, with less strain, and you reach your objective sooner. So, you want top gear faith. Don't you? Yes. People often say to me, I have faith. And I say, where have you got it? Does it itch? You see, it's a meaningless statement to say, I've got faith. Everybody has faith. The scripture says, to everyone is given the measure of faith. But their faith may be in themselves. Their faith may be in a pop star or a sports star or even a motor car. But the point is, where is your faith actually placed? Because faith is expressed in what you say and in what you do. So we have this rich inheritance. Every spiritual blessing. Now, I've got to believe that. That has to be what I believe about myself in my heart. I've got to believe that. If I don't believe that God has blessed me along with Christ with every blessing that he has, I can't be the person of faith he wants me to be. I've got to begin with that deposit of truth. I've got to believe, therefore, that because the kingdom is within me, because Christ is within me, because his spirit is within me, nothing is impossible for me, that whatever it is God puts before me, he can enable me to do and to overcome if that's what is needed in that particular situation. I've got to believe that. Otherwise, I cannot move forward in the way that God intends. If I don't believe in the deposit of faith and the deposit of truth that God has given in the Word, I cannot live to please God in the way that he desires. The scripture says that as a people of faith, we have to believe that the Greek actually says that God is. Some translations put it that God exists, but that doesn't do justice to the Greek. Because what the Greek really means, that God is who he is. And then the rest of the verse is, and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. That because he is who he is, he will reward those who earnestly desire to walk and live by faith, seeing that that faith is worked in love. This is the motto, always has been the motto of Kingdom Faith for over 30 years, that faith working through love. Paul says that's the only thing that counts. If that's the only thing that counts, that's the way we live. Faith working through love. So, you're a person of faith. You see, what does silence mean? Because Jesus says, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, not the mouth remains silent. You're a person of faith.
Amen.
You know, there are some people who always say, well, I don't have to answer that. You know, that's just preachers' style. No, no, no. You have to speak it out. You have to declare it, or you will never become the person of faith that God wants you to be. If you don't keep speaking it out, if you don't keep declaring it, if you don't keep responding every time you hear, you'll never become the person of faith God intends. From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why you often hear me responding and affirming when somebody says something. You hear Pastor Jonathan Dyke, he's a good one. Really affirming truth when you hear it. So important. Because you see, that truth which you hear only effectively becomes part of you when you affirm it. Not when you hear it, but when you affirm it. Then that truth that you heard becomes part of your spiritual life and identity. You see, by nature, instinctively, I am an exceedingly quiet person. Except in my faith life, where I become very noisy. Because I can't walk by faith in silence. Every time Jesus exercised faith, he had to speak. And this is what he was teaching the disciples. Every time you exercise faith, you speak, you act, you say something or you do something. So while you just hear it, you may agree with it, but it doesn't become faith until you express it, either in what you say or do. Then it becomes faith. Just believing that it's true is not faith. Just believing that Jesus said certain things, that's not faith. The dynamic of faith by which God wants us to live is when we not only hear, but we affirm what we hear, and we speak and act accordingly. Then we're operating by faith. Then we're moving forward with God. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we're going to become much noisier here. Oh, there's times when we're quiet, you know, when the Holy Spirit moves us deeply in particular ways. But our first instinct should always be to make a lot of noise. When we praise God and so on. Yeah, he can take us sometimes into... But you know, even when he takes us into holiness, holiness doesn't have to be quiet. Because the scripture says he's majestic in holiness. He's awesome in glory. He's the worker of wonders. Holiness isn't going dreamy in the worship. You know, you're really moving by faith and then, oh, holy, holy, holy. No, no, he's majestic in holiness. He's awesome in glory. That's why the heavenly host bows before him in his holiness. So awesome. So great. So wonderful. So majestic. Okay. We're going to exercise some faith this morning. Is that all right?
Yes.
Is that all right?
Yes.
I said, is that all right?
Yes.
So nobody's going to stay down in any pit. I trust none of you are in a pit. But if you are, God's going to take you out. He's not going to just put you in neutral. He's going to put you on the top of the mountain. You're going to get into the top gear of faith that you know. Yes? And God is going to move you to greater and greater faith. Listen. We're about 10 days away from the end of term. Now, let me tell you something about the last few days of term. That is not the time to wind down. It's the time to wind up. Because by the time you leave here, you are going to need to be people of faith that will be able to survive the holiday period with your families and your friends and all that that often means at Christmas time. Amen? Amen? You are going to have to persist in your walk of faith when you don't have the support of all those around you here. When you don't have a program, a timetable, where you can pray and where you can read the word and where you've got time to do this, that, and the other, you have to then work all that out for yourself in the middle of a holiday season where you may, just depending on the nature of your family, but you may be surrounded by a whole lot of unbelief. You may have people laughing and scoffing at you. You may even be spending Christmas with people that can't understand what on earth you're doing at a Christian training college. What a waste of a life would be their attitude. But you are going to be the person of faith in all of that, and you're going to come back at the beginning of next term stronger, not weaker. Why? Because what you've done during those weeks when you're away is you've kept speaking and you've kept acting and you've kept moving forward with God so that He has been ruling and reigning even in those adverse circumstances, even in those difficult circumstances. For some of you, it's going to be different because you come from Christian homes, loving, encouraging environment, good churches, and all the rest of it. But that's not the case for everybody. Hello? So we don't want to come back at the beginning of next term and find, oh, I've got down into a pit, so we've got to start in the middle of the pit. No, we're going to come back moving forward because there's so much God wants to do in our lives next term, right? So much reformation He's going to bring about, so much release, so much power. Oh, God is just going to take every one of us through to a new place of seeing the release of His power amongst us. But it's only because we're living by faith, exercising that authority, just like Jesus. We're inheriting all the blessings along with Christ. How wonderful. How wonderful, how wonderful. So let me just finish before we pray. Let me just finish with this. See, Paul said, and Paul was a man of faith, and he was teaching people all the time how to live by faith. He said, the secret is this. The secret is this. The secret is this. Christ in you. You see, he says, that's the only thing you've got to remember. Christ in you. No matter what situation you're in, Christ in you. No matter what opposition you have to face, Christ in you. No matter what challenges there are, Christ in you. No matter what you're asked to do, Christ in you. That's the secret. Not a blessing from Christ, but Christ Himself. See, because He is Spirit, He's not as He was during the days when He was on earth, where He could only be in one place at one time. Now, because He's returned to the spiritual realm, Christ, the Spirit of Christ, can be in every believer. So Christ in you. And Paul's got a lovely, lovely phrase. He gets lost a bit because he's sort of saying it in the middle of a whole lot of other things in Galatians. He talks about Christ being formed in you. See, that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's forming Christ in you. You already have Christ, but He's that Christ, the Christ in you, is being expressed more and more so that Christ being formed more in what you say, more in what you do, more in the kind of person you are. Sadly, a At times you'll forget him. Sadly, at times you'll grieve him. Sadly, at times you'll disobey him. Sadly, at times you'll prefer yourself and what you want to what he's saying. Sadly, there may be the odd occasion when you go into reverse instead of forward. But the great thing is, there's no condemnation for us. Because of all we heard about last week, there's absolutely no condemnation. That as soon as we confess and acknowledge our guilt, we are made blameless and guiltless, declared innocent. Hallelujah. How he must love you, eh? Fancy Christ, through whom the whole of creation came into being, deciding to come and live in you. What must he have been thinking of? See, that's what it means to be called and chosen. And one of the strange things about God is he doesn't only use people that always seem to get it right. Some of the people that he uses most powerfully and effectively are those who sometimes get it wrong. So he doesn't use us according to our own righteousness. Listen. Let me just turn this up for you. You remember when Peter and John healed the cripple at the temple gate? That was a good one. What do they do? Exercise authority. Silver and gold I don't have, what I do have, I give you now. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. That seems to be release of authority that releases the power. A good one? So that created quite a stir. Yes? And, you know, all the crowd came around. I've got to find the right verse now. All the crowd came around. And then Peter says, when Peter saw this, that, you know, the people were coming from all directions, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you?" I love it! I can remember when in revival in Luton, you know, people were getting healed and healed, and every day miracles were happening. People would come to me and tell me of the latest thing, and they say, "You never look surprised." And I said, "Well, why should I be surprised? Isn't this what should be happening?" You know, if we get surprised that somebody is healed, that's not very indicative of much faith, is it? This should be our expectation. I mean, our expectation is yellow cards, orange cards, whatever they are, every week. Amen? So he says, "Why do you stare at us as if it is by our power or godliness we had made this man walk?" In other words, they're saying, listen, it's not by our own righteousness. It's not by the fact that we are good evangelical believers. No. There's lots of good evangelical believers who actually don't know how to live by faith and exercise authority and see God heal and perform miracles. No, why do you stare at us as if it's by our power, our own power or godliness, we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. And he goes on to say that it's through faith in Jesus and the power that comes from him the faith that comes from him, that this man has been healed. So what does that mean? It means you might be quite young in the faith, but if you exercise power, if you exercise faith and exercise therefore authority, God's power can work miracles through you. Everybody has to get his first one. I think I was 23 when I saw my first miracle, and somebody was healed of terminal cancer. You've got to start with the first one. But of course, if you don't speak and exercise authority, you won't start at all. It's not just about healing, but, you know, that's just indicative, isn't it, of when we're really moving forward in faith and trusting God and believing for the supernatural to overcome the natural, for the light to overcome the darkness. So don't think, oh, well, you know, it's all dependent upon me having that correct and right relationship with God and everything in my life being in right order. No, it's dependent upon faith. God will bring things into his order in your life while you're exercising faith. But he doesn't say you have to get to a certain standard before you can do this. So it's no use saying, well, it's all right for Pastor Colin to speak like this because he's Pastor Colin. No. I'm talking about you, not about me. I'm talking about where you are in your walk with God now. Okay, this is my final word. Because everything depends upon this. Are you ready? I said, are you ready?
Yes.
Do you want to be a person of faith?
Yes.
Because God will never make you what you don't want to be. You want to be holy, God will make you holy. You want to be a person of faith, God will make you a person of faith. You want to be a person of love, God will make you a person of love. He will make you whatever you want to be. Because what he wants you to be is a person of holiness, faith, and love, and a lot more too. But you see, he doesn't try to do everything all at the same time. He places the focus on a particular aspect of the truth, and then he says, okay, is that what you want to become? And this is where these closing weeks of this term, this is where he's putting the emphasis now. He's done all kinds of stuff earlier in the term, but now it's, will you be the person of faith I've called you to be? Is that your desire? If so, the way to pray is every day say to the Lord, let your spirit of faith operate in my life today. Okay, let's stand. This movement shows that you've been in neutral and are finding it difficult to even get into first gear. Come on, let's really move into the middle here. Okay, start talking to the Lord then. Not in tongues, but in your own language. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Okay, now get out of first gear and move up into second gear. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Tell him you want to be that person of faith he's calling you to be. Come on, really let him know that you mean business. I'm not a drifter, Lord. I'm a man of faith. I'm a woman of faith, whatever. I'm not just drifting along. I'm a person of faith. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. All things are possible for me. I will do the same things as you have done, and greater things still, because my faith is in you. And I praise you, and I bless you. It's your word. It's your word. It's the truth. And I believe the truth. And I speak that truth over my life today. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 You are the author and perfecter of my faith. You're the perfecter of my faith. I fix my eyes on you, Jesus. Not on myself, not on others. Not on my circumstances, not on my feelings. I fix my eyes on you, Jesus, the author, the perfecter of my faith. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of faith. I submit every part of my being to the spirit of faith, that the spirit of faith will operate in me. The spirit of faith will operate through me. Through what I say, through what I do, through the decisions I take. Faith decisions, trusting you in every situation. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I choose to take the faith option in every situation. By your grace, I will take the faith option in every situation. In every situation, in every situation, I would take the faith option. I'm a person of faith,
by your grace, through your calling. And I thank you for that spirit of faith operating in my life. Thank you for the gift of faith. Thank you for the gift of faith that comes with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, I have that gift of faith. Thank you that it's mine as part of that fullness of life, of all the blessings of Christ. He had that gift of faith. So I thank you, Lord, that because Christ is in me, I have that gift of faith. I have that gift of faith. I have the spirit of faith. I thank you, Lord, you're going to make me a faith person. In whatever I say, in whatever I do, in however I relate. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Yes! Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Give him the glory. Come on, give him the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, Lord. Paralaba sarabaria lera bakala sidri sandama. Paralabaria lera bakala sidaba. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Lord. Paralaba sidabaria lera bakala sidaba. Nothing will be impossible for me. All things are possible to he who has faith. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Now thank the Lord that you're an overcomer. Come on, thank him that you're an overcomer. Thank him that you're an overcomer. Thank him, you're an overcomer. Thank you, Lord, I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer because you're an overcomer and you are in me and your presence in me makes me an overcomer. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I am an overcomer. Paralapa sarabari alera bakalasidaba. I am an overcomer. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I am not a fatalist. I'm not a defeatist. I'm an overcomer. Hallelujah. I'm not a person of fear. I'm a person of faith. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Puparazarabari aleruba kalasitari sandama. Opapari aleruba kalasitari sandama. Bazandari aleruba kalasitari sandama. Hallelujah. Now you're a person of victory. Just listen. The lies of the enemy are defeated by the truth. The thief cannot rob you when you stand firm. Defend yourself against the accusations of the evil one with the shield of faith. Attack the strongholds of the enemy in your thinking with the spiritual weapons God has given you. Attack the enemy with the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Stand against his attempts to deceive you by holding fast to God's word with an honest and good heart. You have the mind of Christ. You have authority to overcome the devil, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to set captives free. You are able to prevent the enemy from oppressing you by living close to Jesus continually. Come on, thank him. You have victory over the enemy. You have victory over the enemy. The enemy is defeated. Praise you, Jesus. 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 Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, this is a book I wrote some years ago called Explaining Faith. We must get this back in print. It's a great little book just to show how to live by the principles of faith. Praise God. Are you happy?
Yes.
How can a people of faith ever be downcast? Huh? This is why the scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always. Your circumstances may be difficult, but the Lord isn't. He's always the same. So you see, when you rejoice in the Lord, it shows your focus is on him. Give thanks in all circumstances, because this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. When you give thanks, your focus is on him. This is what Paul is saying through these scriptures. You see, keep your focus on Jesus. You keep rejoicing. You keep giving thanks. You keep him sovereign over the circumstances of your life. You know that you have victory in Christ. You know that you have all the riches and resources available to you. They are already there within you, ready to be exercised through you. I mean, what a life. What a life. How can anybody think the Christian life is boring? I mean, if it's boring, they're not living by faith, are they? Praise God. It's time to get things moving. There are situations in your life, there are situations in Kingdom Faith's life, corporately, where things have got to change and get moving. And that means we've got to rise up in faith and get them moving. Amen. We've got to get those mountains shaken and thrown into the sea. Hallelujah. So, Father, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you. Can I hear the praise? Can I hear the thanksgiving? We give you all the glory, Lord. We give you all the glory. Hallelujah. Pupara la pasarabari alero bakala sitri sandam. Pupara sarabari alero bakala sitri. Okay, now, just before we finish, you can make confession. I presume you know whether you're a man or a woman. You've got that revelation so far, have you? So now, turn to at least half a dozen people and say, either I am a man of faith or I am a woman of faith.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.